E, my lad, I never thought it would come to this. Here we are amongst a crowd of people whooping and hollering. Anticipation fills the air. I can just catch your eye across the crowd. Some folk have brought food and drink as if it was Christmas. It does remind me of the time you were born. The celebrations were in full swing for the new year, and there I was, screaming my head off. You weren't keen on joining this world, and I thought there was something wrong. I remember it like yesterday, the joy of your birth. They always said there's a special bond with your firstborn. And yes, we are very close. So close, I can feel the fear and panic that you're now going through. You were such a lovely boy, able to charm your way out of anything. I remember the time you pinched old Paddy's apples from down the lane. You had a lucky escape. They never did find out it was you. I must admit, I did try to frighten you into behaving yourself, to keep you on the straight and narrow. But you paid no heed to my warnings and just said, "Oh, Ma, will you stop worrying? I can live by my wits. They will never catch me." But they did manage to catch your son, didn't they? You'd been helping out with Ralph Watson, the tea merchant, move premises to where the linen drapers were on Dean Street. It was just too hard for you to resist taking some of the black and green teas that had just come into the store. The place was in uproar. They couldn't find you. Our rooms were searched from top to bottom. The police did give me a rough time as they thought I would know where you were. And I did, but I would never tell them. It was so sad to see you get on the coach. I thought I would never see you again. I had to use the few coppers I'd saved to see you safe. We managed to get you a seat on a fly wagon to London. You thought you would get lost in the crowd. This was another time you were wrong. You didn't even get to Gateshead before they caught you. I couldn't believe you still had the tea with you. You stupid boy. Your charm didn't work that time, did it, son? You ended up in Newcastle jail and I was left on my own. I could always use the excuse that I was so upset that I was not thinking straight or had gone mad, but really I was just so hungry and life was so unfair. On occasion I helped out at the big house belonging to Mr. Silvertop at Stella. They were having a big celebration for their daughter's birthday and I was working in the kitchen doing the dishes. I couldn't believe my eyes when I looked in the pantry and saw all sorts of wonderful food. All night as I washed those dishes, I was thinking how many people in my street would enjoy a feast with that food. I can't now believe I was in my right mind, but that night when I knew the party had finished, I came back to the big house and broke into the small pantry window and climbed in. I just helped myself to the leg of lamb, butter, pies, anything I could get my hands on. I managed to get home without anyone seeing me. I felt so sick with fear, I couldn't even eat anything. I just lay in bed waiting for a knock on the door. It didn't come the next day or the day after. In fact, Mr. Silvertop had a poster sent out offering 10 guineas reward for the conviction of the culprit. Another 10 guineas was offered by Mr. Dunn, treasurer to the Stella Association for the Prosecution of Felons. I couldn't believe how much I was worth. I have never had 20 guineas in my life. That poster really upset me. There was a picture of a man hanging at the top. And yes, here we are today, looking out to the crowd, waiting for the hangman. I'm really pleased that we can look at each other for one last time, son. Your charm must have worked on the prison guards this time. I wish I'd paid heed to my own words of warning. I always thought it might be you standing here. Never thought it would be me. Remember to try and keep to the right path. Keep to the straight and narrow, son. Goodbye.